dum bum bum bum. Bum 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 bum. That's the wrong song entirely. What song is that? I have no idea. I literally have no idea what song that was. Oh well.
It was kind of close. It was just a, I don't know.
Oh no, it was like a bass version of ours.
It's a bass version of our song.
Bum 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 bum.
Dropping the beats.
Okay, all right. You know me. Hello, friends and beans. Welcome to Bugs Need Heroes, a podcast where an artist and an entomologist team up to illustrate the inspiring abilities of insects by writing about things superhero. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kelly.
Producer Derek and Desdemona are also here. Before we get started creating this bug-inspired hero, what's bugging you, Kelly?
Oh, quite the intro today. Amanda, you are excited.
I'm hype.
You're hype? Yesterday, we celebrated my mom's 69th birthday. I know she won't care if tell people how old she is. And, you know, we got together with my brother, went down there, kind of hung out, and ordered Chinese food. My mom ordered the sweet and sour chicken, and what's bugging me is they didn't give her any sweet and sour sauce. I felt so bad.
Oh, no, that's just chicken.
It was just like tempura chicken then, yeah, with no sauce. She had to squirt duck sauce over it, which is not the same.
Not the same experience. Not in the least. It's just sweet.
And my parents live in like a what do you call them? Like in an adult community, I guess. You know, yeah. Retiree community, which is kind of a little bit like 30 minutes away from everything. So you can't even say, can you please bring me the sweet and sour sauce? Because it's like 30 minutes away. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Well, I went to Korean barbecue yesterday.
Ooh.
And I didn't eat breakfast because I knew we were going to the Korean barbecue. And I did not realize it was like all you can eat. We left that place so full of meats. It's ridiculous.
I love Korean barbecue. I haven't had it in so long.
So good. Bulgogi is like, just bring more. Bring more. I want all of it. So it was amazing, though. I always forget how good it is, and then I am like, oh, man. Nothing compared.
I don't think we have we used to have a pretty good Korean barbecue place here in my city, and I don't think we do anymore. I got to look it up, though. I love Korean barbecue.
Ellen
I love Korean fried chicken.
Yes, Ellen of the Just the Zoo of Us was in Portland, and Derek and I went and visited her. And she
shout out to Ellen.
Shout out to Ellen, friend of the pod. But she, you know, she's a Southern girl. She's used to having fried chicken anytime she pleases. And I guess all of our fried chicken sucks. She was like, this all blows. You know, because she's used to the real deal, right?
Real stuff, yeah.
Right. And her solution that we were able to come to with her was, you got to go to the Korean, the Korean fried chicken places. Like, that's as close as you're going to get to the good stuff.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you guys got to hang out. Definitely friend of the pod, Ellen.
Yeah.
From Just as
She's Zulus. Great. Cannot, no complaints. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Listen to her podcast. You've heard her on our podcast before on the Pokemon episode.
Yeah.
But always shout out to friends of the pod. I spoke to a friend of the pod, Ped, yesterday for a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. What's Ped up to?
He's good. You know, we got some research plans for the summer, maybe, which I'll hold to describe. Maybe when we get started, it'll
sneak
be
peek.
Bug themed on my end. So fun.
Of course.
Fun, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of bugs, we got our own podcast to do today.
Oh, yeah. We should just hang out, you and me, talking about all our friends.
Yeah. What do you know the topic for today?
It's another. We're really hitting them lately as far as bugs that I recognize but know nothing about. Mole crickets, which I am to understand have many names. They exist under multiple epitaphs.
mole cricket is probably the most common. They have like crazy little hands, little like paddle hands. We're both like making like wiggly fingers.
We really should add video someday because we're always doing thingies with our hands. I've heard them as potato bugs. I think that's a southern one.
I think that's probably southern.
And is it, is this also the Jerusalem cricket? Is also this one?
No, those are different. Those are their own. Oh. They're their own weird little dudes.
Their own special little guys.
They kind of look similar, and maybe we'll talk about the Jerusalem cricket at some point, far down the line. Because now that we've covered,
all crickets.
they both dig, so similar, I guess.
Okay. Now that you've said that, that makes sense to why he's called the mole cricket. I had not put that together till just now. Because you say cricket and your mind goes straight to like the little hoppy guy, mm-hmm. who, like, to this day, I'm not really sure what the difference between a cricket and a grasshopper is.
They're both same order, Orthoptera.
Okay, so they are cousins.
They're cousins, yeah.
All right. So that's why they're basically shaped the same.
They're shaped very similarly. I think... grasshopper has that kind of square bulldog kind of head.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, I think of grasshoppers as being very rectangular and square. Crickets are kind of round. They've got a little round head. They have their antennae is longer than grasshoppers usually.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down. I'm pitching Jimmy
colors.
Cricket.
Crickets aren't green.
Crickets are pretty brown, unless you're Jimmy Cricket.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket was green. I don't know. I guess you don't want to make a brown bug. I don't know.
He's also barely a cricket. Let me just go on the record and say that Jiminy Cricket does not look like a cricket. He's just like a little alien boy.
Amanda throwing shade at Jiminy Cricket.
I mean, okay. Because you've once again triggered my trap card of being a fan of animation as an adult. But originally he was much more cricket-like in the original Pinocchio. But people did not like him. They were like, get this cricket thing out of here.
Wait, why didn't they like him?
He was just too, like, buggy. They just, unfortunately, it was hard times when Pinocchio was being made. And buggies were not high on people's lists of cute things. You know, it's, the style of animation just wasn't ready for a buggy boy.
Now we have so many buggy boys.
There's even straight up a cricket. There's a character named Cricky the Cricket in Mulan. So eventually we got there.
Okay. I've not seen Mulan.
And of course the movie you need to see most of all Disney distributed properties, A Bug's Life, which is still I'm not saying.
I haven't seen it. I'm
that does not have crickets. That has grasshoppers.
One day we'll do a Patreon where we can watch it. With everyone. We'll just hold it, constantly pausing the movie.
It's like, so Kelly, what are your thoughts about these ants collecting food for grasshoppers?
I'll just ruin the movie for everyone. It'll be a sad experience for Patreon members.
We watched it and while I was watching it, I was thinking about, like, what would Kelly say about this? And there's a couple lines that stand out to me as like, I think Kelly would like this.
WWKD. What would I do?
Oh my gosh, I need a bumper sticker. Can imagine if we put Bugs Eat Heroes there. It's like WWBNHWD. Just like a huge string of letters.
Very long and weird.
Yes, Derek.
Well, first of all, Mulan is very good. You need to
Mulan's
see
Mulan's very good. You need
I know,
to see
I need to see it, yeah.
Like,
I'm very far behind on my Disney watchings.
It's got your girl... What is it? Fenix? Is that her name?
Oh, really? Yeah. She's great. I love Ming-Na her.
Is the voice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, fair. Yeah, fair. I think she's a fantastic actress.
She's so good. She's got the Disney suite, too.
And the songs? Fantastic. Mulan? A plus movie.
Really?
Yeah.
A plus. I saw it three times in theaters as an 8-year-old.
Anyways.
Three times!
But I wanted to go back because I'm curious what Amanda thought this bug was.
Based
on just the name, what did you think? Why would you?
Because she was surprised at digs.
Yes, yeah. What else do you think of moles as besides digging guys?
I guess I just hadn't really thought about his name much. Sometimes you're just presented with something and you go, "Sure, that's what that's called."
No other thoughts.
Head empty. If I thought about it for a second, I would have been like, yeah, he's a naked mole rat. He's a rat that's really a mole, and he's naked.
It's head a rat first in that case, actually. They are rodents. Moles are not rodents.
Yeah, different. Yeah.
But yes, okay. I'm gonna drop some pictures from Kevin into the live recording chat.
Kevin,
friend of the pod, Kevin.
Tell us what you think about that.
So many friends today.
I know. I love that we have friends. Friends of the pod. Look at that guy, Amanda. And we'll I think we could probably share this on the Instagram too. All the socials. What do you think, Amanda?
Okay, so I'm looking at him. Oh, this is not what I was imagining. Maybe I've been looking at the Jerusalem bug all this time. Are those wings on his back?
Mm-hmm. Look at how pretty they are, too. Look at the Venetian in those
very
wings.
Cool. They're very Art Nouveau template going on there. and then he's got this front shield over his thorax situation. And then his little head coming.
The notum. He's got like a big, it's called a notum, that covering over the thorax.
And I assume that his second body part is hidden underneath there, because it kind of blends his head and thorax together.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little monk's hood here.
Can you see his little hands?
And his little, he's got these little, oh my gosh, he's got little, like little paws, little diggy hands. The curve of his arm is very interesting to me. It's kind of like a mewling kitten. He's just going, but he's got that classic sort of mole posture of, you know, where they've got
he
both
does
hands
have a mole posture, yeah,
close to his little cheeks as he scoops through the dirt. And then he's got what? Oh, I always get the Seti and the Cersei mixed up. Which one's which?
You know which one's which.
I don't know.
You know, okay, think about our friends, the earwigs.
I'm going to say it's Seti, but I think it might be Cersei. No, I'm so bad at bugs. I need to get my bug card revoked. I was so good the last couple of weeks. I've been able to say
you
things
were
like
good.
Like diapause and know what I'm talking about. Oh, speaking of, when I went to Korean barbecue yesterday,
mm-hmm.
my our friend Kelsey,
I can't wait for you to
who is a
blend this into diapause.
Well, she said she was like standing on her porch and she was looking out, you know, at the wintry scene before her, and she goes, "I wonder what bugs are overwintering in my yard." And then she goes, How do I know the word overwinter? She had to realize it was because she'd been listening to the podcast. And I was like, we've taught someone. One person has learned.
That makes
just me
so
Kelsey,
happy.
The only ones who are benefiting. So shout out to Kelsey.
Yeah, thanks, Kelsey.
Podcast.
Yeah, that makes me super happy that anyone's learning anything. That's the point. The point of the pod is to learn. And hopefully have a few laughs along the way, because, you know, you gotta.
If it nothing, then my expense for being such a bug dummy, despite being on a bug podcast for a year and a half.
I think you've come a really long way in your bug knowledge, Amanda. You're not a bug dummy at all. I'd say you're
a bug novice,
bug intermediate.
I'm a bug friend, if nothing else, and really isn't that what matters in the end?
Certainly a bug friend. Would you be friends with the mole cricket after having a good look?
Yeah. He's nice. I'm not dirt, so he's not digging into me.
No.
Although, I mean,
no, they're
he
harmless
has a mouse
for bite, people. So. He's probably not going to bite you.
I think he probably just wants out of my hand as soon as possible.
Yeah, he wants to be underground. Yeah, he's busy.
He's got fangs tattooed. So, okay, so he does have like this little spiked butt there. So mm-hmm. was that Seti or Cersei, or was I wrong entirely? It's something
I kind of don't want to tell you now.
Oh, no.
I want like listeners to tell us. Right? We can do it as a little quiz.
I feel like I'm being Duolingoed by Kelly right now.
It's called Bug Duolingo. And it's
Bug Duolingo, and you have to name parts of bugs. And I'm like, oh no, I didn't conjugate this Seti Cersei verb correctly. And now I've got the wrong one.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone will do it, but listeners, is it the Seti or the Cersei? Email us at bugsneedheroes@gmail.com.
Interactive. We've become interactive this podcast now.
Well, but what's more interesting, I think, is those front little paws.
Yeah. And he's called a cricket, but and he's got the backward legs like a cricket, but his legs are clearly not for jumping.
His legs
must be for pushing.
Yes, good job. Yes, it's for pushing dirt. Yes. So you've re-earned your bug star for today.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's more just like general anatomy. Like, what are his legs for? Pushing.
They can jump, but they're really bad at it. They're more, it's more of a flop than a jump, I would say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of room to jump underground, if I'm honest. It's pretty much the ground is right there above your head.
Yeah, they need those legs to help them dig and make tunnels. So they make tunnels under the ground. And really not very far under the ground either, like just under the surface, which sucks.
He's got a sweet little face.
For plants, because it kind of ruins roots and things. Oh, do we have a close-up face picture?
Oh, yeah. Derek put some more in the Discord, and he does have a sweet little face.
He's got a cute little face. And those little fingies are called dactyls.
And the little yellow-tipped little...
On the front of the hands. They look like little fingers. Those are dactyls. Depending on how many dactyls there are, and I think the placement is what species it is. So you can
That makes sense. Because he kind of has, for those not looking directly at a mole cricket right now, he has sort of like badger like bear claws on the front of his little legs.
Yeah, they do have kind of a cute face. My husband yells at me all the time. He's like, "You think all the bugs are cute? Every bug is cute."
This one is legitimately cute. He's got these big bulging black eyes that are very shiny. You know that I love a reflective eye. You know? I really like the full anime effect on my bugs.
If there's one thing I know about you, Amanda, it's you love a reflective eye.
I love a reflective eye. You know. It really pops, really brings a lot of personality to a face to have some really reflective.
I think it makes them look a little less intimidating and kind of cute.
Yeah, he looks sweet, actually.
they're pretty, they don't really bite. You can handle a mole cricket. They're not a big deal.
How big are they?
Between 2 to almost 3 inches.
Oh, okay. So he's bigger than I thought. I was imagining like a 1-inch dude, but he's a healthy, chunky boy.
Yeah. Oh, he's big. Oh, well, the females get up to be about 2.8 inches. Males are more around 2 inches. That's 5 to 7 centimeters for the rest of the world who might be listening right now. Sorry to do American inches on you. But it's big. So Amanda's like making weird finger motions right now.
I'm trying to measure trying to figure 2 inches. Out. I'm trying to imagine him, as always. I'm always trying to imagine him in my little hand.
He would take up a good amount of your hand. So probably like that.
Yeah, he's probably, a decent chunk of your palm.
Yeah, and you can see they're kind of chunky too. So they're
he's sturdy he's little cute. Guys. All right, I know I'm coming around the Kelly way of thinking when I'm like, he's a cute little bug.
He's a cute little guy. And they've got those beautiful wings. And they can fly.
Yeah.
So there are there's also like the short winged mole crickets, and their wings are much smaller, and they can't fly. But these guys, this looks like a regular, not a short wing. So this guy should be able to fly. Yeah. Kind of lobstery in appearance.
Yeah. He's kind of got that classic like crustacean setup going on there in the front. Like
I think it's those front mitts. Those mitts are like mitts. Claws.
And then he has these sort of four little feeler things here in the front. Are those just for feeling around in the dark?
Just for feeling, yeah. I'm kind of surprised at the size of the eyes, given they mostly live underground.
It's for cuteness.
Yeah, they're little mouthy bits. It's for cuteness.
It's for cuteness, yeah.
So humans won't kill them.
Like, don't worry about me.
Yeah, I keep having to go back to look at the photo while we're talking. So, yeah, these guys. Well, first, there's only 3 species in North America of these little dudes, and there's around 100 species worldwide, but we only have 3 native.
Okay, sorry, I was looking up mole cricket flying to see his wings.
Oh, you were? Did you find a photo of him flying?
I found a couple with their wings out. I wouldn't say he's flying, but his wings are out. Oh my gosh, his wings are so sweet when they're out. Because like, there's no way this guy's flying more than what can technically be qualified as flying. Because his wings are so small compared to the rest of his body.
Well, when you live most of your life, and really most of your life, from egg nymph to adult, they're underground. They really only come up out of the ground to either hunt for those that are predaceous or omnivorous, or to forage for the herbivores. So depending on species, they only eat plants, they eat plants and other organisms, or they only eat other organisms. But most of the time, underground. They come up at night when it's a little bit safer. When it's safer for a chunky bug to walk around.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. So you said there's three different kinds in North America. Are they just North American?
So the species we have, the native species we have in North America, I believe
there are. I don't like the way you emphasize the word native.
Yeah, we're about to talk about invasive species.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure the three we have are really only up here. There might be some crossover, like around Mexico, South American border. I know Mexico is North America, but you know what I mean? Like further south. But we do have invasive species from South America. There are invasive species in Hawaii because, of course, there is.
Of course.
Hawaii gets everything. Puerto Rico has a few invaders. They just kind of move around a lot. And I think, Amanda, this might make you think they're even cuter. So hold on to your butts right now, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Their little bodies are covered in hair called seti in ecology. And it traps air around their bodies. So when they land in water, they float.
Oh my goodness. Built in flotation. I did notice when we were looking at these macro images of them that they quite hairy. Yes, a significant amount of little fuzz.
But the invasive species that get here and move around probably get here in ship's ballast. So they're just floating around inside a ship.
It's not their fault. They didn't want to be here. Gosh darn it, they've been floated over here in a boat. That is so funny. I'm sorry.
Can like, you picture them just floating around in a ship waiting to land? Give us your tired, your poor, your mole crickets.
Your mole crickets. So are they, so a lot of time when we talk about invasive species, we're talking about like people are moving trees around and oops, there was bugs in the root ball or there was bugs in the trees. Where are these guys coming? Like, how are they, why are they on the ships in the first place?
They're in the ballast of the ship. I'm not quite sure how they get in there.
How they get in there in the first place. Interesting.
It's very weird.
What are you doing, mole crickets? This is a mystery. How did you get in there?
I just love that they float. It doesn't.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about like, I don't know where they're from. And it reminds me of how in like medieval times, they thought bugs just like appeared. That they just manifested out of flies. Yeah, exactly. Fly like they're just like, there was no flies here. And now there are flies. They must have just emerged from the miasma, you know? We don't know. These mole crickets are from the miasma inside these ships.
Well, it kind of makes sense that they float because if you figure if you live your whole life underground in a tunnel that you've built, if that tunnel floods, you want to be floated out the other end.
You want to go up to the top. That is so clever. So smart. Thank you,
evolution.
So smart.
It's amazing, right?
Like, nothing triggers my claustrophobia quite like a tunnel does. Mm. I'm not usually very claustrophobic, but you'd never catch me spelunking. I can't think like a fate worse than death. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going down. Like, you see those videos of divers where they're like, I went through this tunnel just to find out where. I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't want to drown. I have a healthy fear of drowning. I grew up down the shore. I swam in the ocean my whole life.
And you never turn your back on the sea. Yeah,
you learn to be respectful of the sea.
Every year at the Pacific Coast, we always get like a whole family swept out to sea because they were using their minivan as a boat. And you're like, why were you doing that?
Is that a Pacific Northwest thing? I don't think I've heard that over here.
Oh, okay. So our coastal highways are all of our beaches are technically highways.
Oh.
Which is, so you can drive your car.
Not here. You can only drive your vehicle here in designated areas on the beach.
Here it's, if it's designated as a non-car zone, otherwise you can't.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
legally.
Why it was the like transportation department that blew up that whale in the 70s.
Oh.
Because because technically the beach belongs to the highway system.
Not the whales.
Not the whales.
Kelly, you're familiar with the whale?
You're familiar with the exploding whale?
I'm not. Oh, no.
Oh, okay, no.
We have to take a break. Okay. I'm sorry. We have to stop right now.
You have to know about the whale.
We're going to put in a Rotunda jingle. I got to find that video. We're
gonna have this is a whole video? Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Girl. Amanda, please explain.
This is deep okay. Oregon lore here at this point. So a whale washes up on the shore of the Oregon coast, as happens sometimes. But it's like a big chunky whale, right? This is like a whole whale.
Yeah.
And they got to get rid of it because they can't just let tons and tons and tons of whale rot on the beach for what will no doubt be months of carcass.
Yeah, I've been around whale carcasses before and the smell is for
blocks. Oh, it's horrendous.
It's awful. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me.
Should I watch this video?
Yeah, watch the video right now. I will end this part, and we'll be back in a moment with Kelly's response to this.
All right, I'm at the countdown.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready.
Oh no!
It's so much explosion.
Wow, that is. You can see chunks falling from the sky in this video.
It destroyed cars.
Really?
Because there was, like, you know, 400 pounds of whale blubber just lands on a dude's car. And he's like,
I can't believe they did that with a crowd around it. Like, how do you not know there's going to be large pieces of heavy whale blubber raining from the sky around children?
I don't think this has been tried before. So, like, this was the test case.
This is a horrible idea.
So the story goes, let me see if I can remember all the facts correctly. I'm sure I'll get actually in the comments. But so it's a sperm whale. It washes up on the shore.
I think it's a sperm whale. Sorry.
I think it is a sperm whale. But so it washes up on the beach, I think in like Florence or one of those coastal towns. And
yeah, I think the video's from Florence.
Okay, great. So it's like 1970, and they're like, what are we going to do about this whale? We can't just leave it here. It's so much whale. And so then they go to the person who's in charge of the beaches, which is the Oregon Transportation Department for some reason. And the guy who's supposed to make these sorts of decisions is out of office. So they go to the next guy down who's just like filling in. And they're like, what are we going to do about it? And he goes, blow it up, I guess. That'll get rid of it. And they go, okay, great. How much dynamite should we use? So he goes, I don't know. Let me go ask a guy. So he asks a guy. The guy says, like, one stick of dynamite will probably do it. And the guy's like, great. Use 20 sticks of dynamite. We'll get rid of that whale for sure. So they put in so much dynamite, way more than was ever needed. And they blow the carcass of this whale.
I've not heard of this before. Yeah.
Yes, it is iconic. It is deep. Not even that deep. It is well-known Oregon lore at this point. The iconic Whale Day. We now celebrate Exploding Whale Day November 10th, I believe. So
Derek shared a video of this online. If we're keeping this for the listeners, they can maybe we could put the video in the show notes. If you want to watch an exploding whale.
It was just so much. And if they had spaced it out, if they were like, okay, we're gonna blow up like a little bit right here, a little bit right there, but they just do all the dynamite all at once. I'll have to look at like the actual numbers for like how much dynamite they use, because it's like so much more. The guy was like, you need like, you know, 10 grams of dynamite, and they're like, great, 400 grams of dynamite.
Whole thing. So,
all the dynamite we have. And it was like the perfect comedy of errors of like, why is it the transportation department? Oh, the guy who's supposed to make these choices is not here. It's just the guy who's covering for him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's
the perfect storm of unqualified people making dangerous decisions.
Right. And then, you know, K2 News shows up and is like, hello, we're going to watch this whale exploding. And then
notably, this all happened before the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972.
Yes, yes.
So now when the whale washes up, it's very, very differently handled. And there's been a couple that washed up recently in the Oregon coast. Oh, Rotunda's down here.
Oh,
and they were handled differently. Oh, very rude. Very rude.
A gray whale has entered the chat.
Okay,
I'm just kidding, Rotunda. I love you.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, Chelsea, I have no doubt that letting the whales be part of the ecological departments around the Oregon coast is in direct result from people being like, exploded, I guess. What if you just blew it up? Yes. Hilarious. I'm so glad that you've now joined us.
I saw that. Yeah.
In knowledge of the exploding whale of the Oregon coast. You can celebrate Whale Day with us this November.
I can. I'll wear a whale pin in honor.
There's so much merch down the Oregon coast. Like, it's on t-shirts, there's pins, there's
hats. Really? That's funny.
It's a thing. We've really embraced the exploding whale. Local cryptid exploding whale.
There is a park now in Florence, Oregon, named after the whale.
I think it's called Exploding Whale Park.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
When a whale washes up now, everyone's like, exploded!
Exploded! Blow it up! Well, because like they do blow up sometimes like on their own, but never with the veracity of dynamite.
When an animal dies, the insides of the gastrointestinal system, the bacteria kind of goes unchecked, and then it creates a lot of bloating, and you'll get a rupture. I don't know how much exploding really happens, but it will get pretty rough. If you've ever seen here on the East Coast, if you've ever seen a deer on the side of the road,
their legs all laid out. Derek went to the beach for an exploding whale. No, well, I shouldn't say it's exploding. Derek went to the beach for a whale not that long ago, and the thing that surprised me about it is that the scientists show up to do what studying they can, because mm-hmm. like you don't just get to study whales much. Because
I hear too.
They're deep, deep down. But the first thing they did was like take the sperm whale's jaw off so that people couldn't scavenge the teeth.
Yep. Yeah, they're expensive. You could sell them for a lot of money.
Oh, like scrimshaw stuff or whatever.
I don't know what scrim.
Oh, scrimshaw is when it's like the native practice of carving scenes. Oh, and stuff.
Okay, that's cool. I just mean collectors will pay for a whale tooth.
I think it'd be cool to have a whale tooth. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I think that'd be really.
That's
cool.
Why they do it. They take.
That's
it.
Why they do it though, so that you can't take them
removed.
Because there's a lot of things like that. A lot of animal parts that you're just like not allowed to own in Oregon. I don't know if whale tooth is one of them.
Teeth are an important part of study when you're studying mammals. There's a lot you can learn from a tooth, so they probably want to keep them for that purpose as well.
Right.
Here too, the scientists always come anytime there's a whale up, and we have the Marine Mammal Stranding Center in New Jersey. So usually you call them and they send out marine biologists and they come and do their thing.
I've
been on the beach once before when that's happened, when I was working. But anyway, mole crickets.
Mole crickets. Back to the little man at hand here. We should talk about him. He would never explode on us. He would politely desiccate like a gentleman.
Politely desiccate. Also, good job with desiccate, right? Look at all the words
I am a genius. Yes.
So many words now. So the problem, we were talking about invasive species before the whale chat happens.
Right, exactly.
And it's great. Whales. I learned a lot about Oregon from that video. But so the invasive species are annoying because they dig, like I said, only a few centimeters, an inch or so below the soil. And when that happens, they push the soil up into like a little mound, and that dries out the soil. So the plant, plants living in it desiccate.
So that little like cartoon Wile E. Coyote is under the ground and you need to watch where he goes.
Yes, that's what it looks like. You can actually see their little mounds with your eyes. They're not hard to see. You'll see them.
Yeah, they'd be pretty big because you've said that.
He's a chunk.
They're pretty big. They're, inches in length.
They're chunky. Yeah, chunky you'd be guys. Able to see.
That's interesting. So it pushes it up, and then the compactness of the soil is part of what keeps it wet. And so once it's all
mounded up, you've created a lot more surface area when you've pushed a mound up like that. And all that surface area leads to evaporation. But they also end up destroying roots, germinating seeds they ruin. And they're a particular pain in the butt on golf courses, anywhere with like turf grass.
Oh, are they eating the like bottoms of the grass, or are they just pushing it up?
They're pushing it around, which is annoying. Yeah. Derek makes the choice of F golf courses. Said, yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I agree. But they're also a problem for sugarcane farming and some other like crops and things. So not just golf courses. I imagine they're also equally annoying in a park if you're just trying to have a nice park, you know, place to go play soccer with your kids or whatever. Right. But they're a pest.
And that's just because of the tunnels they make, not because they're eating anything specific.
It's the tunnels. Yeah, the tunnels are very annoying. Think of like a gopher, but smaller. Or like a vole. Maybe you've seen vole tunnels before.
We have a lot of
grasses up too.
Gophers is the thing in our area that we
eat. Gophers?
Yeah. We get them in our parks a lot. We have a lot of stretches of green fields that we call parks in our suburbs. We're like, yeah, it's a park. I'm like, it's definitely just a field, you guys.
Amanda definitely means moles here, not gophers.
Moles, sorry.
Moles, I mean moles.
But you can see them. You can like, their heads will pop up.
Aw.
And you can be like, hey, get out of here. And they're like, what? They're like not afraid in the parks either.
The problem with the invasive mole crickets is they don't have a lot of predators here for whatever reason. I mean, our native mole crickets have predators. Really, it's amphibians like to eat them, so big frogs. So, so they don't have a lot of, the invaders don't have a lot of natural predators here, which is a problem. But what control measures have been taken, and this is your favorite kind of control.
Yes.
Is they bring in.
Tell me who they brought in.
They brought in a parasitoid wasp, a parasitoid fly, and a parasitic nematode.
And remind me once more. Mm-hmm. What is a nematode?
A nematode is they're small worms, like very thin looking worms.
Nasty little parasite guys.
They don't look. Yeah, generally when you're worried about parasites in fish, if you're eating like sushi or something, it's usually a nematode is the problem.
Hate that for me.
But yeah, so I'm okay with it because I don't eat fish. That's an everyone else problem. So control measures, we brought in all these other things and they're they work fairly well. I think the nematodes didn't work great at first and now they're working, but it's always, well, got to bring in some parasite to fix this problem.
So, I mean, I hate just the phrase parasitoid wasp. I think that's a nasty little phrase, but, so I assume giving the three names you gave me, nematodes, parasitoid wasps, and parasitoid flies. Is that what the other?
Yeah, some flies too.
So I assume they're doing my favorite thing, which is eating him from the inside.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
What was
he didn't ask to be here. He showed up on a boat and he came over and now he's being eaten.
He floated on over and it's just the way it goes, you know. It's just the way it goes.
That's the circle of life, baby.
Oh, and you had mentioned overwintering before for Kelsey.
Yeah.
Kelsey mentioned overwintering before. And these guys can overwinter as nymphs, so as little dudes, or as adults, depending on the species and probably depending on what region they're in. It likely depends on how harsh or how cold things get, which is kind of cool. I don't think we talked about life, kind of like life cycle yet. So they start in the dirt as eggs with like 25 to 100 of their sibling eggs. The mother sometimes stays depending on species. Sometimes they're good mommies and they tend to the eggs and they keep them clean, free of fungus and all that. Or they drop them and they go. Takes a few weeks for them, maybe 10 to 40 days to hatch. Then we get nymphs. These guys are they undergo incomplete metamorphosis. So egg, nymph, adult. Yeah. I love them because the nymphal form just look like little mole crickets with half wings or no wings sometimes.
So. That's so sweet. Just little guys.
Trying to look at, I don't know if I have a, if there's any photos around. But they just look kind of goofy as babies without wings. Just a tinier version of our friends. And Yeah, like I said, they eat, they come out of their little tunnel at night to feed, either to munch on other critters or to find plant life to eat. But what I love, and I think Amanda, you'll like this too, is how the males find females. We love a courtship on this pod.
We do, we do.
So the those beautiful wings, you can see all the venation in them. They rub their wings together to create a song. And the song is so loud. It's so loud. You can hear it for like 0.5 miles and it's 90 decibels.
Oh my gosh. 90 decibels. You're just like out there in the in the dark of night. I assume at night because they talk about them being nocturnal. Mm-hmm. And he's just like out there. I don't know what noise it is yet, but it, as a cricket, I'm imagining that like noise that crickets make. And he's just shouting that to the heavens.
So I'm looking loud.
For a lady wife.
I think Derek has a sound recording for us to listen to.
Oh yes.
Is that in the chat somewhere?
Okay, right, here we go.
16 seconds. Ready?
Yes, let's ready, see. Set, go.
Oh, it's very loud.
Sorry, I'll move right away from the microphone.
Being loud is authentic to this
yeah moment. Yes, that is what he does.
What do you think, Amanda?
Honest to goodness, if I heard this out in the wilds, I would assume it was a frog.
Yeah, you know what, it sounds a little tree froggy to me, sort of.
Yeah, it kind of has that rhythmic meh, 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 meh noise that a frog might make. And I got a lot of tree frogs in my area specifically. Like, we have these little green tree frogs that are everywhere. Aww. Right now. Yeah, I would assume it was a frog. I've probably been hearing mole crickets other times in my life and have no idea. I don't remember what you said their span was, but it sounds like they're mostly in southern states, not up here by me.
The one we just heard is the northern mole cricket, and they're by me. And I wonder if I've heard that before and just had no idea, if I just thought it was a frog in the evening. So the male, he's got his little tunnel. And when he's ready in the evening to make this very large sound, he starts shaping the tunnel entrance into a horn shape. And then he sits at the narrow points and plays his song for the horn shape to amplify his little song.
Oh my gosh. He's singing into like a little cornucopia. Yeah,
basically.
Like, hello. Hello. Lady wife, I'm here.
Amazing, right?
Mole cricket, I don't call it, amplophone.
I love that they've built an amplophone just to do this. You know, it's kind of incredible. Evolution to me is always interesting, and I can't believe all these just neat ideas. Not really ideas, that the animals don't come up with them, but you know what I mean. Like, there's
But like, somehow
I don't want to anthropomorphize, but yeah. Just incredible.
When you think about the size of a mole cricket, I mean, I don't think I could get heard for half a mile, and I'm a loud person.
I don't know. I bet I could hear you from half a mile.
But you're tuned in. You're
I'm tuned in, though, yeah.
Like the lady mole cricket, you're listening for my call. You're out there like, who's that? Oh, it's Amanda. She's talking to me about bugs.
I'm like listening and waiting for the bug calls.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also like flashing lights, like a glowworm. You know, all the things that we've talked about bugs doing. I've got a protein shake ready for you.
Oh no, the protein shake.
It just became a.
Still waiting for disgusted emails about that episode.
Oh yeah, bugs need heroes after dark.
So we've kind of gone over all their interesting things here, their superpowers, their excellent little digging animals. The males are top-notch singers. They're super loud. Even half a mile is very impressive for a sound from something so small. They can fly. They're not, you know, I don't know how great they are at it, but they can fly. They're buoyant, which makes me laugh thinking about them floating around. So what are you thinking, Amanda? As a hero. For this guy.
I mean, at the top, I said that their little body shape reminded me of a monk, but I'm hesitant to do a monk, like that Franciscan robe thing, just because I don't want to
you should,
do that inaccurately.
Do something with those beautiful wings. They're kind of art deco-y.
Yes. Yes. The wings. I feel bad emphasizing the wings just because they don't use them much. So we
okay. Keep them short, like a little capelet. Caplet, whatever that's called. Short cape.
Yeah, that's an idea. Okay, here we go. So I want to give him like a cute, my undersketch so far is a cute little pose. I'm worried it's a little bit, Derek hates when I use this word on the podcast, but he's simping a little bit. Pose wise, he's doing, so I've got it right now. I've got him standing and he's got these big old mitts in front of him and he's just kind of like lovingly looking at the viewer. I've got a hood on him, but I think I need a better way to like incorporate that. So, okay. So I'll make his hood go into his capelet and then they can all be kind of Art Nouveau-y.
Yeah. Cause yeah, Derek, the producer Derek did mention that the females use the wings. The females are looking for the males. So they're a little bit more.
Oh, okay. So he's standing there shouting.
They're
saying,
more movement oriented. Yeah.
And she's coming to him. I see.
She's coming to that siren song.
She hears her man out there. And she says, I'm going to go find him. And how long do you said they overwinter. So I assume they last at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're waiting,
but they only overwinter once again as incomplete metamorphosis. They're not yet adults.
Derek is saying you can catch them with a speaker in a kiddie pool. So if anyone wants to find a mole cricket of their own, don't harm them. Put them back. You know,
Chelsea's calling out Cody in the side chat there.
Oh. Oh no.
Cody is a horrible finder, so I do have to come to him for anything.
Oh really?
Oh my gosh! And he's passed it on to my son. Like they'll be standing on top of their shoes and be like, "Where are my shoes, Amanda? Have you seen my shoes?" And I'm like, "They're on your feet."
Yeah, so sometimes my husband's looking for something, and I'm like, "It is kind of next to you, just behind the whatever you know."
It would just take a
couple seconds to move something, and there's the thing you're looking for. It's
something
all right.
My mom used to always say to us that I now have to say to you know the generations have continued is look like you know it's there.
Yeah.
Look like you're sure it's in this location. You just have to find it.
But like, I'm no better. I'll occasionally wonder, oh, do I have my phone on me? But I'm listening to a podcast. So of course I do. You know.
Yeah. When you like go to scroll something when you're talking to someone on the phone, then you're like, oh wait, no, I can't scroll right now. I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
You realize how bad your screen addiction is.
Oh, so I have to ask, when you're making heroes, what makes you choose if it's going to be a boy or a girl?
If I'm being totally honest, a lot of times it comes down to like shape. Whether I think it's a more masculine shape or more feminine shape based off of these tropes that exist
within a lot of tropes in comics and animation.
I'm not trying to make like a good character design when we make these shows. I'm trying to make a perfunctory character design. I'm talking like what gets the idea across as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So a lot of times that means I'm leaning hard into the tropiness of it all. I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Although we should maybe do like a couple. Just to get some non-binary characters in there.
Oh, for sure.
Little representation. I don't know that Mole Cricket would be the one I would choose.
Yeah. I also try to like, my natural proclivity is to draw women, femme women. So I try to make, when there's a chance that I don't feel like a bug is particularly like, their more interesting behaviors are like dimorphic, I try to make it a dude.
Just trying to get into your mind as a creator here. Interested.
See behind. All right, let's give him. I'm going to look up those wings again because they're so cool.
Yeah, they're really pretty. The listeners can't tell because we don't do this as video, but Amanda had to turn her video off due to
connectivity
issues. And now it's weird. I'm just staring at a black box, but not looking at it because I don't. It's weird. So just waiting.
Actually, low key, I'd buy this hoodie. It looks really cool.
The hoodie you're making for the Mole Cricket?
Yeah, yeah. I gave him kind of a hoodie situation, but then like his capelet comes off of his shoulders.
Oh, that's cool. We got to start making a merch store, Amanda. You can design bug themed hoodies.
Bugs need hoodies. Perfect. I'll talk to the LLC today. We're gonna make hoodies. Forget the podcast. We're a hoodie.
We're a bug hoodie company. We're just making tiny bug-sized hoodies.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Just like keychain size yeah. little tiny hoodies.
How many legs do you think you'd give old Mole Cricket?
Oh my gosh, he's so sweet. Something about him is just, I mean, I know we talked a lot about his invasive species being like bad for well,
you,
plants.
You can think about our North American species.
Yeah, but I'll think about his neighborhood Mole Cricket. He's got these sweet little eyes, which I'm struggling to to put on his hero form without making him look like a ding dong. He's pretty good. I really don't have any faults for him when he's where he's meant to be. This is hard. Okay, I'm.
He should probably be like a little hairy too because of his buoyancy.
Oh yeah, that's true. I hesitate to give him 6 out of 6 only because I have in the past not done 6 out of 6 when a bug doesn't have a like really really unique feature.
Mm-hmm.
The way a like I'm trying to think of other 6 out of 6 I've done. You know,
that's fair.
Because sometimes you just gotta reserve those 6 out of 6 for like, wow, nobody is like this guy. The assassin bug, there's nobody like him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Mole Cricket doesn't quite fit that criteria, but I just like him a lot. So I want to give him 6 out of 6. But I think I'm going to have to give him I'll give him 5.5, as close as
wow.
I'm willing to give.
Wow.
Because he's...
A lot of love for cool. Mole Cricket.
I think he's really cool without being like a menace to society. Like a wall crawler might be, but he's sweet. He's hairy. He's just doing his own thing. Oops, I fell in the water. I guess I'll float away now.
He's singing.
He calls
to the
for his lady love. He's crooning. You know. Can you remind me? I'm sure you said this. How does he make the sound? Because crickets, there's always
they rub their wings together,
right? Because the picture
called stridulation.
Yeah. Okay. I think we talked about this not that long ago, but it's always, the picture is always of like them rubbing their legs together,
yeah.
But that's a lie. It's
yeah,
really,
that's a lie.
Yes, because we did talk about this because we talked about those percussion fish thing they have where it's like a tube with all the, when you can't see me, you can't see my little hand gesture.
Can I? Are you making a hand gesture?
I am making a furtive hand gesture. But like little children's instruments where it's like you have a stick
a rasp thing and a I know what you mean now.
I'm gonna have to change his face because his face is too sweet. It's too sweet.
It's too sweet. Oh no.
He
can
looks
he be
about
too sweet?
Eight. Maybe he maybe can be too sweet.
I think I'd give Mole Cricket a 4. I think he's pretty neat. He's not exceptional. He does have a very cute little face, but I have to be careful not to rate bugs on their cuteness because then everyone gets a 6 unless particularly unsettling to look at.
All 6s and then Emerald Ashbore.
Yeah. Vinegaroons, I think, are not pleasant to look at.
Fair.
Sorry, friend of the show, Bailey. I know you love your Vinegaroons. I think they're very cool, but they are not cute. Not to me, anyway. But Mole Cricket's pretty adorable. Yeah, I wish Jiminy Cricket was a mole cricket instead.
That's really funny, actually. I think he should be some. I mean, obviously, you know, this old Italian story. He was just a cricket because he's a cricket. But it should be like a termite or something, right? That like lives inside Pinocchio's head and whispers things to him that only he can hear. Because otherwise, like if everyone can hear your conscience, it's not a conscience, is it?
Yeah.
This is my Guillermo del Toro rewrite. He should be in termite and live in Pinocchio's head.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about mole crickets is in Zambia, they're considered bringers of good fortune. So they're
I can see that.
Good.
A lot of these like noisy bugs, which we've had a lot of noisy bugs all here in a row, is if you hear one, it's either good luck or bad luck. Yeah. Like with the hawk moth, it was a little bit of a like, what's that noise? That little eek, eek, eek noise is
that can't be good.
That's but like a cricket being good, like that makes sense.
Yeah, it's cute. They're also Central and South American lore, they're believed to bring rain, which to me is good. That sounds, everyone wants rain for crops.
I'm over the rain. I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, you guys have had a lot of rain in the Pacific Northwest lately.
We got a lot of rain this winter, and I'm in for a lot more because it's the Pacific Northwest.
And I know occasionally we get questions on, can you eat this bug? And you can. Mole crickets are a common snack food in Thailand and Vietnam.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. He looks like he'd be tasty. I mean, he's kind of juicy, right? I feel like if you're going for like the most bang for your buck.
You gave him a 5 out of 5, and now you want to eat him?
I'm not saying I want to eat him. I'm just saying if I was lost in the woods, wherever this mole cricket might be, sounds like possibly Thailand, and it was like die or eat this guy, he'd be the one I'd pick because he's juicy looking.
He does look juicy.
He looks like, you know, because a lobster... the reason why we eat lobsters and not anything else is because of how much there is to give out of a lobster. You know, you could eat most of him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we've covered a bug you can't eat. Ladybugs, you shouldn't eat a ladybug. They are, you know, that burning, that nasty hemolymph. They're bombardier beetle. Yeah, don't eat the bombardier beetle.
That's don't eat bombardier beetle. Floaty Joe is not for eating.
He's not for foods. But a lot of insects and arthropods in general, you can eat them. I don't want to eat them. I have texture issues, and I think the gooiness of a bug would make me very uncomfortable. Other than like the tiny... I've eaten tiny fried mealworms, and they were okay. Because they were just crunchy. They were so small, they were only crunchy. The minute anything becomes gooey, I can't do it. So I don't think I could eat mole cricket. I think I'd be pretty uncomfortable about it. He's too big. Potentially gooey. Yeah.
But what if he was like deep fried? I feel like you could deep fry anything.
Super crunchy.
Like tempura. You can't even see his mole crickety shape anymore.
If I bite him into him though and he's gooey, I can't do it. I would have a bad physical reaction on that.
I wonder, so you make cricket flour.
I can make cricket flour out of them and then bake cookies, and I'd be totally fine with that. No problem. Because I think crickets in general should taste kind of nutty because they eat a lot of, either they're eating plants or they're eating other bugs that eat plants. So you're like kind of right there at that bottom level of the food chain.
Okay, I'm going to share this guy to you. He needs more. Okay. To make him specifically,
this has turned into bugs need seasoning. So
bugs do need seasoning. Always season your bugs.
Salt, pepper, maybe a little chili. It's all good.
Some paprika. Okay, like I said, I need to change his face because his face is too sweet. But
I love the warning. I love the warning that he might be too sweet.
He might be too cute. Sorry, I realized I didn't have Discord open on my Surface.
Oh, no problem.
Oh yeah, well, I was talking to my friends yesterday when we were at Korean barbecue. They're my friends that were like deep into City of Heroes and they just redownloaded and made a lizard people team. So.
Yeah, I love City of Heroes. I tried to replay it, and it doesn't really have the same feel to me when I revisit, unfortunately.
Yeah, a part of it is part of its time, and then also part of it is, like, playing with your friends, I think.
Yeah. He is very sweet looking. Look at his eyes.
I told you, he might be too sweet.
I think you should leave him that sweet. Look at those big arms, too.
Well, I was trying to get his, like, big old meaty mitts in there. And I was like, his superpower definitely has to be his mitts. Like, it has to be his arms is, like, really what his superpower is.
Yeah.
And I tried to give him a little bit of
his little those, like, caplet hoodies. I want that hoodie.
I told you, right? Yeah, like, I love that hoodie. I kind of want his hoodie.
It looks great. That's very, yeah, you should leave him adorable.
Okay, all right, all right. He can stay cute.
So we can begin share him next to photos of the actual cute bug. I often wonder if the listeners find any of these bugs cute or not.
Well, I think it depends on whether they're listening to us, like, because they're interested in bugs, or because they just think we're funny idiots, or whatever it is. Like, what's
yeah, it probably depends on the reason. Oh, Derek is saying give him a trumpet. That would.
Oh, yeah. I thought about giving him a guitar strapped to his back, but I think a trumpet makes more sense.
Yeah, because he makes that little like, horn.
If I give him a trumpet, he's going to look like a 14-year-old band geek. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, he's giving us Peter Parker vibes, maybe. The band geeks need their own hero, and maybe it's Mole Cricket.
Maybe it's Mole Cricket. You know what? Honestly, I'm into that.
Oh, Derek is saying a sousaphone. I don't think I know what a sousaphone is.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right, Derek. I think a sousaphone's the answer.
Oh, that thing. Okay.
I'm going to have to draw it from memory over here. Okay,
oh, that's interesting. I just had to Google it because I didn't know what that was. But
yeah, is the marching form of a tuba.
That's cool.
And the people who play the sousaphone are always just absolute whack jobs, just so you know. Like, there's some there's some cliches about band geeks that are true, and one of them is that there's never been a mentally stable sousaphone.
Oh, we're gonna get hate mail for this one.
But in like the best way, and the best, like, the it's the most brass band kid energy of all the brass band kid energies. They conglomerate in the sousaphone section.
Email us at bugsceneheroes@gmail.com.
How dare you? I was a sousaphone player and I'm clearly very hinged.
Subject you? Line Amanda.
Having to draw a sousaphone has really taken me back to my high school days over here.
Were you in band in high school, Amanda?
I was. I was a trumpet player, surprising no one who was offended about the sousaphone line a second ago. They all say,
was there a feud?
100%.
I was not in band, so I don't have that life experience, which I know can be quite the thing, being in band.
I loved being in band, but I did not love playing an instrument, if that makes sense.
Chelsea says, I have clarinet energy. Is that a compliment?
She does have clarinet energy. I was going to say that, but I was like, she's not going to know what that means.
That's so kind. That's very sweet. I played the flute in middle school briefly because we had to play one instrument. And quickly, when the requirement was over, I stopped. It was not.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I have an electric guitar now that my husband bought me several years ago. I can kind of play that. I'm not super good at it, but I don't have time. I don't have time to play. That's the problem. So I'll never get good. Too busy. And when my free time, I'd rather play video games than try to hurt my fingers relearning guitar. Do you play anything now, Amanda?
Every now and then I'll whip out the trumpet, like at Christmas time. No, mostly I play chasing my children around the house. That's what I
play. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Here on Bugsy Heroes, we exclusively make male heroes who would treat you right. Okay,
we do.
That's our branding.
Dung Beetle.
This guy, he's allowed. He's allowed to come to hang out with Dung Beetle. He's too shy to come to the gym with Dung Beetle and Bumblebee, but they're working on him. They're going to get him there. They keep inviting him, and he keeps saying, "Oh yeah, one of these days, guys, for sure."
They're going to be supportive and loving and kind, and
he also has that energy of like he's a teenage hero, but he doesn't want the other adult heroes to know that he's only a teenager still.
I love it. I love all the backstory for our bug heroes. We just make on the fly.
All right, I added a sousaphone.
Look at that sousaphone. He's great. He's fantastic.
How does he take the sousaphone underground? Doesn't make any sense. He'd have to like constantly abandon this sousaphone all over town. And then like, because I'm imagining that like he gets in danger and he like digs.
He's really gotta drop it.
Yeah. You're just going to have to leave it there and, like, go get it later. Unless he builds the sousaphone out of dirt.
That's a dirt. Every built sousaphone.
Like, quickly, I got to shake this sousaphone. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. And it would have to be, like, clay, and you'd probably have to fire it. It'd be very brittle. It'd be a weird thing.
He only needs to build it to last, like, this fight, though. Like, it doesn't need to last. It just needs to make the sound. And then he knocks you out with his sousaphone blast. And then he digs away.
He's great, Amanda. I'm jealous of his hoodie. And, I would have been friends with this guy in high school, I think. We would have been pals.
Oh, for sure. We would have been pals. I think his face might be too sweet, but I'm leaving it.
It's adorable.
I want him to hang out with all my boys, all my Woolly Bear, Bumble Boys,
Boys. Yeah, Woolly Bear is younger than him, but
yes,
I don't remember what heroes we have who would be around his age. We have a whole cast of heroes now.
We don't have any teen heroes, which is funny because teen hero is such a cliche of the hero genre.
Is he our first teen hero?
I think it's him and Silverfish. Although Silverfish was like college age, now that I say He was like an older boy.
Silverfish was a young man.
He was a young adult out on the town.
Yeah.
Responsible.
He's very responsible.
Every essay he's ever written has been turned in hours ahead of time.
Oh, man. Yeah, we need to make a little comic book at some point. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, we really, really have adult heroes and kid heroes. This is, I think, our first like properly teenaged hero.
We're gonna have to make other teen heroes then.
His metamorphosis is as of yet incomplete.
Yeah, that's why his wings are short.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we've covered all the bits and bobs about our friend Mole Cricket. We both rated him, I think, fairly high. Amanda higher than me. Yeah.
Because he's so sweet.
He's very sweet. We love his tunes. We love that he's considered the bringer of good fortune in Zambia. That's always a good sign. And rain in South and Central America. He's just a solid dude, I think.
Yeah, he seems like a sweet boy. His mom's proud of him. That's all I'm going to say.
His mom's proud of him, and we're proud of him, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, now I'm just looking at cute pictures of mole crickets. This guy is so cute. Hold on.
Amanda has a new favorite bug.
He's mole cricket. So cute. I'm sorry.
We do have a sound of this little guy. We will share a link in the show notes for the Orthopteran Society where you can hear mole cricket and katydid and all your favorite bugs.
So, as always, love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Yeah, look at this little picture I put of him in the library.
Oh, my God, he's so
cute.
It's very, very cute. It's stupid.
It looks like a little teddy bear.
He looks like he wants a hug.
Yeah, he's asking for uppies right now.
Oh, definitely uppies. My cat does that. It's weird.
Bugs Need Heroes was created by Derek Conrad and Kelly Zimmerman. Hosted by Amanda Allen Knighty and Kelly Zimmerman. Bugs Need Heroes is produced and edited by Derek Conrad, with some assistance from Chelsea Bodden and a few cats. Character art is by Amanda Allen Knighty. Our music is Ladybug Castle by Roll Music. Got a bug question? Email us at bugsneedheroes@gmail.com. Check us out at bugsneedheroes.com, and most of the socials are under Bugs Need Heroes. Thank you to the Entomological Society of America for the Chrysalis Fund grant. Oh, I've just realized mole crickets are in Animal Crossing.
Oh, are they?
And you find them by listening to them. I'm a dum-dum. I can't believe I didn't realize that until just now.
And that's going to be the end stinger.
I haven't played Animal Crossing in like a year, so it completely had slipped away from me.